Before you stand, say a few words of preface about this passage. At the bedrock foundation of our faith, it's the story of God dying a brutal death by the hands of humans. And yet, so often when we talk about the cross, the first thing we think about is what it accomplished for us. And that's very easy to cause us to rush over the amazing cost in human pain. Yesterday, Tommy took us into that story of the human pain. But also, when the world looks at that pain, they see it as foolish. How in the world can we believe a God could die like that? There's no way of understanding how God endured that until our passage today helps us understand why he endured that. So would you please stand? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. There's one word that is used in this passage three times. It is the word endurance. Twice it is used of Jesus, and once it's used for us. As I was thinking about this passage this week, there was such a vivid reminder of endurance. Many of you who follow golf and you watched Rory McIlroy win his first Masters golf tournament, but how he almost lost it and was so disappointed, you could see it in his face when he double bogeyed and was caught up in the race with just a hole or two to remain. It forced him to go further into overtime playoff and to win it. He is truly a great player. But what few people know is that was his 16th attempt to win the Masters. 16 failures. So close many times. And yet he endured it because of a goal he had dreamed of. Our passage today is about a far more important endurance. In fact, it's a life or death endurance. But it's the endurance and the joy that Jesus gained from the cross. The first endurance that is spoken to is our endurance in this passage. And one of the things that we need to see is that the scriptures continually remind us that we are in a journey. Here it is called a race, but it's a journey that has a goal that has been planned beforehand for us. It's not a race of speed, but rather it is a race like a marathon that is spread out over our lifetime that requires endurance. And the reason is that every one of us will face, if not once, many times when our faith is challenged to its very depth. That's where these believers were that the writer of Hebrews is speaking of today. We're even reminded of that by the Apostle Peter, who wrote, "If you addressed as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work during our race, then conduct yourselves in fear, awe, awareness, attentiveness during the time of your stay on earth." He wrote that maybe just months before he died. We have been given the gift of life for a purpose that will end one day, a day which none of us knows, but we will have to give an account for how we lived. This writer of Hebrews is reminding these readers what they needed to think about and to do, and it applies to us. It says, first of all, there is a history of faith living of those who have gone before us, and we should look to how they lived their lives. That's what the entire chapter prior to this is about, chapter 11. After listening at the beginning, seven men and women, he writes this in chapter 11, again, leading up to us in chapter 12. And he says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who see such things made it clear they were seeking a country that was not their own. Their desire was for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for in fact, he has prepared a city for them. Notice they lived for something that they knew was coming, but they looked for it even on earth. Therefore, pay attention, this writer says, to these things that you need to think about on your journey. Read, remember these heroes of faith. They are our inspiration, and all of them lived in very different ways, in different times. They all lived in faith. Secondly, he says, lay aside anything that hinders you from running or slows you down. Even good things that can crowd out the important things. Think about it. Habits that distract. Here he says, lay aside the weight. And he's speaking of the runners in a race, and it was literally their body weight. They had to train to lose that body weight, so they would run as fast as they possibly could. To these unbelievers, it was the weight of unbelief. They were being persecuted, and they were asking themselves serious questions. Will God really answer our prayers? Will he protect us? Will he supply our needs? Is Jesus really the only way? And their belief is being shaken because of their persecution. Thirdly, he says, realize, you must remember, there's a race that is set before you. You haven't finished yet. And you must know that you're in this journey, a marathon race, and it matters how you live each and every day. Because we need to see each day as that gift and enjoy the gift that it is and look for the opportunities that God provides. And he makes very clear, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, that God has prepared good works for us to do beforehand. So therefore, every day God has something in your life that counts in bigger ways than you know. We have a journey. But he says also run that race with endurance. It's not a passive word. It's a word that means active energy. And the word is really agony in the original language, which means hard work. Run it with hard work and wisdom. I'm reminded of a good friend of mine in seminary. He was a marathon kind of runner, had actually been approved to be on the Olympics team, and he entered and was qualified for the Boston Marathon. He was running behind a man that had won the marathon several times, a man named Bill Rogers. He was always the man supposedly to beat. But my friend Jeff said, at 1 mile, I was only 100 yards behind him. There was no one else close. But he said, I was gaining on him every step. And he said, within 20 yards, I was 3 steps behind him. And I was still gaining on him. But they turned a corner, and a policeman on a motorcycle, not ever thinking anybody would be that close to Bill Rogers, pulled out in to follow Rogers in. And when he did, Jeff had to jump over the motorcycle and run to widely, and he lost the race by 1 second, still gaining on Rogers. When it was over, they asked him, how do you feel? All knowing he could have won. His comment was this, I feel too good. I said, what do you mean? He said, I promised God I would do my best. But when I got to the finish line, I still had too much left over. And that's the question the passage is telling us in our endurance. When we get to the finish line, will we have too much left over? Of course we will. We're not perfect. But here's where the writer turned us to the answer. And he says the answer is in the endurance of Christ. The answer is in what he tells us. But Christ, who put your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now, what does that mean? The better word is fix your eyes. Every runner knows that when you're running for the goal line, you never look to the side or you lose because you take seconds off your focus. Fix your eyes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? He is the originator of faith. He's the one that showed us what faith is all about. He's the one who lived to please his Father. He is also the finisher of faith. The word is completing faith. He finished his goal. He had a goal. What was his goal? His goal was to take on human form. His goal was to launch his church. His goal was to remove our sins on the cross so that we could be given his righteousness. His goal was to be resurrected from the dead, which would prove his divinity. And his goal was to conquer death and show he had power over death so that we would know we could have power over death. And his goal was to destroy the works of the devil. The joy of all of that and more is what kept him on the cross. You see, he knew that from before ever coming to earth. That's why he was sent. It didn't lessen the fact that he had to go through the pain. But he knew there was something so great that was set before him that he could go through that pain. And it was all for us. He looked to the joy of his resurrection, of his reunion with his Father, where there in his presence is all joy, to sit down and rule over his kingdom now, crowned with glory, so that now with the Holy Spirit, he can now direct how we run our race, how we face our race, and enable us to endure as we look to him. But there was one other thing that's different here. And that is, when he went back to heaven, he was different than when he came from heaven. What was different? He had taken on human flesh, and he still has it. And why does he have it? For us. You see, he's our king. He's our friend to rule with us as his co-regents, as his people. And that's why the passage ends with the writer saying, you've got to consider him. You've got to think about him and all that he accomplished and why that turned a joy into him as he faced that cross and died that brutal death for us. Because he knew how great the results would be. Amazing. He became human so we could become like him. He is the supreme giver of joy, the source of all our joy. Let me pray for us. God, you are the one who loves us with an everlasting love. And you have brought us into the bonds of an everlasting covenant. Support us all the days with your everlasting arms, that we may endure to the day when Jesus places the everlasting joy upon our heads. Amen. Take some time now in silent prayer. Ponder these thoughts that the Spirit lays upon you.